I didn't sing through Joe. Shabbat Shalom, if you'll be paying attention to us for any adjustments. Does that sound good? Yeah, just watch for him, you know, if he needs bass or voice or something. All right. So listen, look for him and then listen to the whole thing out there and ask yourself, how does it, am I hearing everybody? Does somebody need to be adjusted? Okay, so during Shabbat Shalom, you want to check and be attentive to us up here for just a minute or two. Can you do that? Okay.
You have been on my mind, ma'am.
Huh?
I was wondering if I'd ever see you again.
Not know. Ooh.
Shabbat Shalom. Hallelujah. This is microphone 3. Just testing. Are we live, Carol? No. I was just testing this microphone as well. Thank you.
Test 1-2. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Praise the Lord. With floods and flat tires. Glory to God. Praise Him through the floods and praise Him through the flat tires. Who had a flood? Anybody hear about a flood? I had to be more than the one in our fellowship hall. Well, I want to say Shabbat Shalom to all the folks watching us today. I'm Rabbi Joe, Mrs. Rebitz and Don, and we're glad you're with us for service today. This is our Yehuda Messianic Congregation, or Lion of Judah Messianic Congregation, and we're all glad you're here. Folks, are you glad everybody's there? The folks are out there in internet universe TV land.
Amen.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
Whoop! Let's give them a whoop glory. Whoop glory. All right. Okay. We're going to get started here. Later on, we're going to take the Lord's, we're going to go to the Lord's table. And, if you want to join us, you can get some grape juice or fruit of the vine and some bread or crackers ready for that. And God bless you as you worship with us.
Carol.
Shabbat Shalom.
to worship him, the Messiah, Yeshua. He is the Messiah of Israel and the world. And we want to bless him. And I believe he's going to give us a blessing today. Amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu edorecha Yeshua b'Mashiach Yeshua. Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in the Messiah Yeshua.
Amen.
I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord thy Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Amen. Okay, the Vishamru. Vishamru Vene Israel Et HaShabbat Lasor Et HaShabbat Ledorotam Berit Olam Vishamru Vene Israel Et HaShabbat Lasor Et HaShabbat Ledorotam Berit Olam B'nei, O B'nei, B'nei Israel, B'nei Israel, O Hili Olam, Vishamru, B'nei Israel, Et HaShabbat, Lasod Et HaShabbat, Ledotam Berit Olam. Ki sheshet yamim asa Adonai, asa Adonai, Hashemayim v'et haaretz v'shamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat laso et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam. V'yom ha-shivi shabbat v'inafash, shabbat v'inafash, Shabbat v'inafash, v'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat, lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another,
all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace, not war. For God will bless them that love her. So for the sake of the city of our God, we pray for Jerusalem. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you.
Greg, would you come and pray for the peace of Jerusalem?
Good morning. Shabbat Shalom. Lord, we come before you this day in your house on your Shabbat, and we just thank you for the fellowship, and we thank you for your people Israel. And we just ask that your hand be on them and guide their leaders and protect them from the dangers, from the wolves that surround them on all sides. And as the Bible says, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, may those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. And for the sake of our Lord and God, we will seek your prosperity. And we pray these things in the name of Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we also pray for the Messianic community in America today. Pray, Lord, for our leaders, that you would lead them in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. We pray, Lord, that you would guide them, that they would hear your voice and say, walk ye in it. Do not turn to the left or the right.
Amen.
We pray, Lord, that they would obey you and that they would be obedient to your commands and your directives, your ordinances, Lord, and that they would feed the flock and feed the shepherds, Lord. They are the over-shepherds, that they would shepherd the shepherds so that we might shepherd the people. I pray, Lord, that you give them vision, that they be obedient to their authority, and I pray for all the rabbis today, Lord, that you heal the sick, that you bind the brokenhearted, that you help those who are struggling, because they're people too, Lord. They're just people like everybody else. They have a special calling, but they're just human beings, Lord. Help them today. Give them, bless their messages, and we pray for the salvation of the Jewish people, Lord. We pray that you just open their eyes, remove the scales from their eyes. Start with my family, with my mother, Harriet, my sisters, my brother, their families, and my cousins, and all Kol Yisrael, all the Jewish people throughout the world who need their Messiah, who need to know who Yeshua is. We pray for their salvation.
Amen.
Lord, the time to favor Zion has come. Amen. In Yeshua's name.
Amen. At this time, we're going to... say a special prayer for the Omer, and I'll just say a couple words. There are actually two first fruits in the Bible, as we read about it, and the first fruit celebration that occurs the day following the Sabbath after Passover is called the early first fruits, and then 50 days later we have the latter first fruits called the Feast of Weeks, and the 50 days in between we call the counting of the Omer, which is what we are in today. And so during early first fruits, the first fruits were waved before the Lord as an omer of barley. And during the latter first fruits, the first fruits waved before the Lord are in the prepared state, as in two loaves of bread. And so this is what we're doing. The day of first fruits is also called Ha Yom HaBikurim, or Sifarat HaOmer. The word first fruits means a promise to come. And this very first of the harvest is waved before the Lord to acknowledge the land he gave the Israelites. The early first fruits is celebrated on a very special day. And on the day, the Bible records miracles occurring over and over. No other day except Passover is mentioned as many times in the Bible. The day of first fruits has never received the high status of the high holy days, just because the priest had to offer the wave sheaf. It remained an ordinary working day on which the high priest would wave the sheaf before the Lord. Therefore, some do not consider early first fruits as an actual feast day, but we do remember it for his resurrection and then the 50 days following, an expectation of the Spirit and the giving of the law, which Rabbi will teach on. And at this time, Rabbi and will be helping us with the special prayer for today. Today's day in the traditional calendar is day 32.
Baruch atarnai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kiddushanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu al sifarat ha'omer. Praised are you, O Lord our God, ruler of the universe, who has taught us the way of holiness through the mitzvot, and commanded us to count the Omer. Hayom Shanayim Ushloshim Yom Shechem Arba'a Shavuot Ushnei Yamim La'Omer. Today is 32 days, which is 4 weeks and 4 days of the Omer. And Anthony, do you know the significance of the 33rd day of Lag Ba'Omer, which is tomorrow?
It's when a lot of Jewish couples are married. It's in between.
Have any Jewish couples that want to get married tomorrow?
A lot of people are married on that on Lag B'Omer, which is tomorrow. Yeah. So it's a day of celebration. There's more to it than that.
Yeah. Somebody want to look up the significance of Lag B'Omer, which is L A G, is one word, log, and then B, which is B with an apostrophe. Yeah. And then O-M-E-R, Lag Ba'Omer.
And I think there's a pilgrimage to a rabbi that lived centuries ago. Yeah. Rabbi, is it Kochi? C-H-O-C-H-I, something like that. But there's a pilgrimage to his burial site that's done on that day, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of significance to that. To Lag Tomorrow is Lag Ba'Omer. Yeah. So maybe after Anthony speaks, I'll speak a little bit in my message about it. So anyway, let's continue.
Melech Chozer Umashiach Umagen. Melech Chozer Umashiach Umagen. Baruch Atah Adonai, Baruch Atah Adonai, Magen Abraham. Baruch Atah Adonai, Baruch Atah Adonai, Magen Abraham.
Let's just worship in the Spirit a little bit. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We need you, Lord. Come and minister, Holy Spirit. Your people, Lord. Move through the room today. Move through this place. Move through the TV. Move through the internet. Touch the people out there. Touch the people in here. Touch the people that are coming here. Touch the people that are coming here, Lord. Holy Spirit, heal us. Forgive us. Wash us. Renew us. Cleanse us. Wash our minds. Forgive our sins, Lord. Forgive our sins. Help us to walk in your grace, your love and your mercy and your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord. Do you need his grace today? If you need his grace, just raise your hand and say, I need your grace, Lord. You need his grace, just raise your hand and say, I need your grace, Lord. I need your grace today. Mercy today, Lord. Just raise your hand. Lord, I need your mercy. I need your mercy today. I need his healing today. Lord, I need a touch from you. Ruach HaKodesh, Holy Spirit, Holy One of Israel. We need a touch from you. We need a touch from you, Lord.
Move for your people.
Power in our midst today. Lord, Lord, let your fire fall. Holy Spirit, come and have your way. Lord, Lord, let your fire fall. Burn up the idols of wood and stone. Lord, Lord, let your fire fall. Thank you, Lord. And now the Lord says, He who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and gather Israel to himself. For he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel whom he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. Thank you, Lord. We just bind that attack on our sound right now. In the name of Yeshua, we bind that attack. Amen. We're going to stand for the Shema. Rise. If you're worshiping on the floor, it's okay, honey. It's all right. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malchuto. Hafta et Adonai Elohecha Bechol levavcha Uvechol nafshecha Uvechol meodecha Vahayu hadivarim ha'ele Asher anochi mitzavcha Hayom al levavecha Veshinatam levanecha Vedibarta bam Veshivtecha beveitecha Uvlechtecha vaderech uvech Uveshach b'cha uvekumecha Ukeshar tam liot al yadecha V'hayu l'totafot b'in einecha Ukhetav tam al mezuzot b'itecha Uvisharecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
I'm going to ask Ray and William to come and carry the Torah today. And Charlie, if you'll come and open the ark, please. Adonai Melech, Adonai Malach, Adonai Imloch Leolam Vahed, Adonai Imloch Leolam Yitain, Adonai Yivarech Et Amo Vashalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord,
and there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned, the Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people, the Lord will bless his people with peace.
Amen. Other men would like to carry the Torah, just line up in the front.
Amen.
ויהי בן צוהר רום ביום משה גונה הלוני ויפוצו אויביך וינוסו משנאיך מפניך כי מציון תצא תורה כי מציון תצא תורה ודבר אדוני מירושלים ברוך שנתן תורה תורה ברוך שנתן תורה תורה לעמו ישראל בקדושתו.
When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel. Amen. Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah, Baruch Hu et Adonai Hamavorah,
Baruch Adonai
Hamrach Le'olam
Va'ed,
Baruch Adonai Hamrach Le'olam Va'ed, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu
Melech Ha'olam, Asher bachar banu mikol ha'olamim, Denatan lanu et Torato, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Torah, Amen.
Bless the Lord, the Blessed One.
Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One, for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Okay, today's Torah portion is called Emor, and it's talking about, you know, what it says is usually taken out of the first sentence, and most time it's out of the first sentence, and it means to speak. It's talking about God is speaking to Moses, and it's odd, you know. We're Leviticus, and we're not very far. We've only come actually a month from the end of the book of Exodus. Only a month has passed. And what's interesting, you know, we've been talking about the tabernacle and the temple, and we've been learning some of the rules and regulations that God established. And we also learned a lot. We've learned, I think, about the spiritual atmosphere that was part of the inner part of the tabernacle and the temple, or the Mishkan, as it was called. And but you see, with the sanctuary of God is actually the whole world. That is really his dominion, is really his sanctuary, is the whole world. And you see, with the Torah, and I guess the reason I've dealt more maybe with the Torah today than a lot of the things within the parashas, because that was one of the things that Shavuot was about, was the giving of the Torah, giving of the Holy Spirit. So you see, with the Torah, being we've only come a month from the book of Exodus, the Torah is not bound by a linear chronology. It doesn't go like one day after another. It's not bound by any particular pattern. The Torah places events out of order so that we can seek and find new truths that can be revealed by things that are out of order. And today we see that, you know, God had spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, and he was telling him to speak to the sons of Aaron and to Aaron himself. And you see, Israel is still in the wilderness. The journey is still very long in front of them. And we see today with this Torah portion that the proper performance of the task of the Kohanim are being taught to them today, as God is instructing Moses how to pass this on to the Kohanim. And see, they're still in the desert. They have not gotten to the promised land yet. And why would God bring them in such a faraway route? They could have went a lot quicker with a more direct route, but God had to teach and train them in his ways. And you see, when you look at God's word, a lot of people don't realize, but there is a lot of God's word left of the book of Matthew. There's a lot on the left side of the book that a lot of people tend to ignore. They think of it as old. They think more of the new covenant. And it's great that we've got the new covenant, but God's word has not passed. The old, the former covenant is still there. And, you know, and as scriptures have been translated, things have been changed over the years. If you go back and look at some of the early church, I'm going to say Christian, them were very anti-Semitic when you actually get to look at them. Emperor Constantine was one that, when you really look at him, he was anti-Semitic. And, you know, the world can get real fickle. I was looking this past week in study, and I realized that in 1938, Adolf Hitler was chosen as the Man of the Year by Time Magazine, and he appeared on the front cover of Time Magazine. Most of y'all, probably no one here was around that time, but he was chosen the Man of the Year. The world picked him as the most influential man in the world, and we see that's why, you know, sometimes the press and the public don't always get it right, and he was chosen as the Man of the Year. That was quite an award to be given to anybody, but to give it to Hitler was quite a contradiction to what he ended up doing. And you see, we always remember the first five books of the Torah are actually the root. The Torah is the root of all the scriptures. Everything else sits upon the Torah. Everything that's in the New Covenant and the remainder of the old, of the prior or former covenant, are all in agreement. There's no disenfranchisement, and that's not the right word. There's no confusion as far as what is in the New Covenant and what is in the Old Covenant. They're in unison. Actually, the Torah and the Old Testament, if you want to say that, and the New Testament, are actually one. It's actually one book. It doesn't. A lot of the more popular Bibles have a break between the old and the new, but in God's Word, there is no break. Nothing changes. Nothing has been removed. It's all one. It's just like the Godhead is Ikad. It's one. They are one in the same. Because Yeshua said that, he said, when you've seen me, you have seen my Father. And in Genesis, it says, let us make man in our image. And Elohim is a plural Hebrew word. It's plural. It means more than one. So God is more than one in the Godhead. And so the Kohanim, they were anointed. But you see, their anointing was for the physical, this part of the earth. And Yeshua is the one who has the eternal priesthood, that his throne will never be removed. You see, when you see the Levite priests and Aaron, it was a shadow of Yeshua and the priesthood that he would bring to the earth. Because, you know, when he was being tried, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. So his kingdom was of a heavenly realm. And that's where his priesthood will reside, in a heavenly realm. And you see, the third temple is going to eventually be built. There's a lot of discussion still going on about where it's going to be built. I think there's a great chance that it's going to be built in the city of David, which is down from where the mosque of the Dome of the Rock sits today. I think it's going to be maybe in a different place. We'll see how it works out. It'll be wherever God wants it. So it's going to take some movement. But the Levites will preside in that temple because they're training them today. They've already got quite a few trained, so they're in preparation. But Yeshua's priesthood will be when his kingdom comes, and it will be at the end of time when he sets up his earthly kingdom here on earth. You know, and Yeshua will be king, and he'll be crowned the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And see, the temple that eventually will be there in heaven, you see, the temple that was built on the earth was a shadow of the temple that was in heaven. There was a temple with an altar in heaven, which was very unusual. What Moses constructed was what he saw in heaven. It's what God gave him to build on the earth. And you see, there's a lot of people that reject the Shabbat and the things of the Jewish beliefs and the things that are in God's word. But you see, it's like the counting of on Shavuot. I don't want to speak very long this morning. I know Rabbi has a message today. But you know, it's like Shavuot. Shavuot is one of the most unusual feasts that we have in it that we count. But when we count, you know, if you look at like Passover, God gives us a particular month and day. He says the first month, the 14th day. And when you go to the fall feast, again, it's the seventh month, particular day. And we're even told about to fast, and we're told, like at Passover, what to eat, the lamb, the marrow, and the matzah. We're told specific things to eat. But with Shavuot, there is no order of celebration, if you can say that. There's not a particular day or month, even though we observe it the same time each year. In God's word, it's just a commandment. And, you know, with the mitzvahs, the enjoyment and the pleasure of the mitzvah is the mitzvah itself. So when you count the Omer, what is God telling us about counting the Omer to come up to 50? You see, when I've been doing it for quite a few years, and it's a time to, for me, Shavuot was a commandment. It was a mitzvah of God to count 7 weeks and one day. And that is, but why would God relate that? Why would, what's the counting? What is the purpose of counting? Everyone here probably can count to a specific amount or whatever. You see, to me, the Shavuot is a time that it's like an unplowed field that God has put rain on, but nothing grows, even though there's life on the field. It's been unplowed. It's hardened. It's hardened soil. And I think, to me, the counting of the Omer is a time of spiritual revival. It's a time of spiritual enrichment. As you count the Omer, you can actually draw closer to God. I can tell you from a personal effect on me, it has changed my life drastically, counting the Omer. It's unusual because I do a meditation period. It's a time, it's a shadow of what God has got with His Word. His, actually, to me, and this is sort of a new thing I've been thinking about, actually Shavuot is an everyday observance of the feast. It's every day because on Shavuot, the Torah was given, God's Word was given. And when you dedicate yourself to God's Word, He wants you, as you count, to draw yourself closer to that inner part of worship, like we had last week, drawing into that inner part, that deep inner part. That's what God wants to do with His Word, with His Torah. Make every day a Shavuot. Every day is a day to count your time with God and make it count. Shabbat Shalom.
Torah, Asher, Sam Moshe, Lifnei B'nei Yisrael, Al-Pi Adonai, B'yad Moshe.
And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand. Amen. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed.
Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace.
Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord,
and we shall return.
Renew our days as of old.
Amen. You may be seated.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone.
Shabbat Shalom.
And once again, welcome to Ari Yehuda Messianic Congregation in Bristol, Virginia. And we're just happy to be here, and we want to welcome everyone on the internet to be with us. And I hope that you'll come and join us if you're close by at some point. If you can't, that's fine, but we'd love to see your shining face. And let us know what you think, and contact us. Let us know that you're watching. It'd be great to know that.
You can go to our website. Right. Does it have our email on there?
You can click on the contact and send us an email. And you can also sign up for our to stay in touch with us by email, and we'll send you our updates and all our events and things that are going on in our newsletter. So please do that. And there's also a button there if you'd like to donate. I know a lot of people are doing their tithes and through the donate button as well. But you can, if you have an offering you'd like to bring to For Zion's Sake Ministries, it's right there available to you. So don't forget that. And we just want to remind everyone that we are your local connection to Israel. Amen? And we're representative of Israel here in this area. We are the true remnant of Israel that God speaks about. And so we represent the prophetic call of the Jewish people. And so if you have a calling on your life to serve Israel and to be with Israel, or if you're Jewish and you'd like to inquire about who the Messiah is, or if you know your Messiah and you'd like to live your calling out as a Jewish person, we invite you to come and join us together, Jew and Gentile. We are together, one in the Messiah. And we know who the Messiah is, right? Hallelujah. And we can rejoice in him. So that's wonderful. I think we're all family. Oh, we do have one visitor. Would you introduce yourself to us? Maybe you've been with us before, but I don't recognize you.
Wonderful. And okay. Danita, how did you hear about us? Oh, we're glad you're with us. Welcome.
Good to have you, Gina. All right. And praise the Lord. We just have a few announcements before we continue with our worship and the rabbi's message. So don't tune out. There's more to come. Marty Goetz will be here Friday, June 2nd, and that's the Shavuot weekend celebration. And so we'll kick it off with Marty Goetz here in concert, 7 o'clock p.m., so please...
Live. It's not the fake Marty Goetz. It's the real one.
yes, and he's just a delightful soul. Not only does he have beautiful worship music, but he's just an awesome person in concert. He just interacts, and he's just a great guy. And
he's going to need help with his book table. So anybody who knows how to run a book table and his credit card machine, he'll need help. His wife told me.
Jenny's not coming. Okay, so there are flyers out there for everyone to take. Please take a few more. One for you and for several other people. Invite your friends. Okay, and then also when I send out the email... you can forward that email. There's the little thing at the bottom that says to forward. So you can forward it and put your email, friends' emails in there and forward it on and just let people, and also do it on Facebook. You know, like the event on Facebook, and that'll get the word out too. So please go to our Facebook and interact. There's people coming in and making comments all the time. So, it'd be great, you know, the more of you that interact and talk about things, you know, the more that we get the word out about what's going on here at Ari Yehuda Messianic Congregation and For Zion's Sake Ministries. So, and we're getting lots of responses from around the United States. I mean, there's a guy in Seattle that I've been talking to on the phone, and he's been watching a little bit. And there's some folks up in Washington. Of course, we have Buzz and Linda. Hey, Buzz and Linda, down in Myrtle Beach. So there's quite a few people checking in very regularly. So stay connected there online. All right? I'm going to talk for a little bit at ONEG today with the membership class, and so if you'll just meet, you know, I'll stay tuned and I'll talk to the membership class. And we're also going to be scheduling some meetings for the media ministry and the children's ministry, and also the Torah service ministry. So during ONEG, I'll be making a few announcements, and we'll be putting together some meeting times. Okay, so just stay tuned for that. And I think that's... Oh, one last thing. Don't forget about the MJA conference coming up in July. It's July 2nd to the 8th at Messiah College, Grantham, Pennsylvania. There's plenty of flyers back there, and you can go online to mja.org to sign up. And you can go for one day, or you can go for 6 days. Rabbi's speaking on Monday in Hostetter Chapel. It's a nice big hall. So if as many people could be there, that would be great. So now we also have an opportunity for someone to come here that week before. So I'll just mention that. I'm going to mention it during ONEG. So we have a possibility of a the dance ministry, Ralph and Mindy Sita, stopping here on their way to the conference and to spend Wednesday evening with us. So if that interests you, we will talk further in the fellowship hall during ONEG. And I'll leave it to Rabbi. I'm done.
Okay. Also want to mention about this conference, Jonathan Kahn, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, is going to be there speaking. Rabbi Jonathan Bernis, if you might watch him on TV, he'll also be there speaking. And many other great speakers. David Reagan, well-known television, great theologian and teacher on TV, Christian television. He'll be there as well. So a lot of great speakers and rabbis will be speaking. So it's going to be a great night. Great week. It's a week-long conference. It's called the Messiah Conference. You can go to mjaa.org if you're interested and come in to see Jonathan Kahn. It's in Pennsylvania, right near Gettysburg at Messiah College. Messiah 2017, and it's at Messiah College, and it's from the Messianic Jewish Alliance of America. So come, make plans to come. You don't have to stay the whole week. You can come for a day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, whatever you want to do. You can stay in a hotel. You can stay on campus. You can do it any way you want to do it. All right? Praise the Lord. We're going to take up our offerings right now, our tithes and our offerings. So let's pray and ask the Lord what he would have us to give. If you're at home, as Don said, if you consider this your congregation and you'd like to participate, you can go to our website and you can give online as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to give back to you. Lord, you have always shown me that the tithe is your rent, Lord. The tithe is not an offering. The tithe is your rent. Anything we give above and beyond a tithe is an offering. And or alms to the poor, and things like that, Lord. But you've taught me through the years to bring my tithe, and I always bring my tithe in. And you've blessed me for it, for bringing my tithe. You've opened the windows of heaven. You've poured out a blessing too big to contain, Lord. And you've taken care of all my needs, Lord. The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want. You also tell us, Lord, that that no man can outgive God, Lord. We cannot outgive you. So, Lord, bless us as we come today and put it on our hearts what you would have us to give. In the name of Yeshua, the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, Lord, speak to our hearts today and bless these tithes and offerings. And don't forget the basket for Israel, for the poor. you have spare change, that's our alms that we bring. Every week we bring alms for the poor. So if you have some spare change that you'd like to give, and we collect it and send a check to Israel, to the Joseph Project. And then there's the building fund on the end, which we just had a flood yesterday, so we're going to have, you know, we just don't know what that's going to be, with whether they're going to have to cut walls or, you know, we just don't know. We're believing it's going to be fine, but we'll see how it goes. Praise the Lord. God bless you as you give.
Stay in the city till you be clothed with power. Be there at the appointed time. I will bless you, pour out on you new life. Wait for the promises of God. Stay in the city till
the cymbals, praise Him with the dance, praise Him with the shofar, praise Him with your hands. All right, raise up your hands. Let's see your hands. Praise Him with the harp. Who's got a harp? Praise Him with
Don't you just wish you had a palm branch in your hand?
Hallelujah.
good. Amen. He is the master of our universe.
He is the Hatov Shimcha.
He is the rock of our lives.
He's the Holy One of Israel.
Amen.
He's the shield of our salvation.
Yes, hallelujah.
Well, I can't top that.
And he is the good shepherd. Amen.
Yes, yes, amen.
Hallelujah. Let's thank him for shepherding us and keeping us like his little lambs. Amen. Master.
Oh, God.
Kicks you around and frustrates us, doesn't it? Sometimes things don't go our way in many ways. And we get frustrated. And frustration leads to temptation. And it says here, whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give place to sighing, when hope within me dies, instead of running away from him, run to him. Amen. Instead of running away from him, run to him. From care, he sets me free. So if we run to him, whatever is beating us down, whatever is opposing us, whatever is frustrating our lives, you feel with your family, you're not getting anywhere. If you feel with your job, you're not getting anywhere. And you're feeling frustrated and down, and you feel temptation. Well, why should I bother? You know, you may think, well, why should I bother to follow the Lord? You know, things never seem to work out for me. Why shouldn't I just go, you know, do whatever? But he says, and the song says, this is what he would say too, and that is, draw closer to him, for he'll set you free from all your cares, because you're important to him. Each one of you, and we're all important to him. We all have a very special place. Every one of you, say me. Say, I'm important to him. I'm special. And he has a plan for my life to prosper and not to harm me. I may not be a Trump. I may not be a president. I may not be a rock star or a celebrity, but I'm a success in my Father's eyes. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, we're going to come to the Lord's table at this time. So if you're home and you have some bread or some matzah, crackers, or some grape juice, fruit of the vine, whatever you use, and you'd like to join us as we come to the Lord's table, the Shulchan Adonai, or as the church calls it, communion, if you'd like to join us, we're going there right now, okay? Baruch Atarnai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Borei Pri HaGafen Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Baruch Atarnai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask, thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask Patricia, would you like to come and serve? And let's see. Gene, would you like to serve? Why don't you come? Patricia, you can show Gene what to do. How's that? You've been very experienced. Patricia's very experienced. So you just show her the ropes. All right. Now, before we come, I want to ask you a question. We invite everybody who's a believer to come to the Lord's table. Doesn't matter what church you belong to or what denomination you come from. It doesn't matter, you know, what your background is. It just matters if you're a member of the body of Messiah, if you're a believer in Yeshua, in Jesus, that God has opened your eyes and revealed your sins to you, revealed his Son to you, and revealed that without him you are hopeless and desperately depraved, and without God and without hope in the world, without him. If that speaks to you, then you're eligible to come to this table. Amen? So let's bow our heads for a moment, and I want to ask you a question, and if you're watching, I ask you the same question. Do you know him today? Do you know the Redeemer, Yeshua, Jesus? Do you know him? If you died today, do you know you'd be in heaven tomorrow? Do you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that he saved you from your sins, that he's forgiven you, and that you have a relationship with him, personal relationship with him? If you don't know him today and you'd like to begin a relationship, just raise your hand and I'll pray with you if you don't know him. Thank you, sweetheart. And anybody else, just raise your hand. Okay. Honey, you want to come up here? You want to pray with me? Want to come with your... Is that your aunt? No? You want to pray with me from there? Pray with me. Dear God, you say what I say, okay? Dear, what's your name, sweetheart? Crystal? Crystal Ann? You pray with me, honey. Dear God. Okay, let's all pray together. If we all pray together, will you pray with me? Crystal Ann, if everybody prays, would you pray? Okay. But you'd like to ask Yeshua into your heart today? No? You change your mind? Okay, well, maybe next week. Brooke, what would you like to say? You want to let God, you want to come up with Crystal Ann to pray with me? Come on up. Crystal Ann, you want to come too? Okay. Let's pray, Brooke. Just pray with me. It's not about what I pray, it's about what's in your heart. Dear God.
Dear God.
I believe
that you sent your son
to die in my place. I haven't always been good. I've sometimes been a bad girl.
Forgive me, God.
And wash away my sin. And put my name in your book of life. I love you. And I want to follow you all the days of my life. In Yeshua's name. Amen. Bless you, sweetheart. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Anybody else want to come up who hasn't done that? You've done it. You want to do it again? Okay. If you were at home and you pray that prayer, just all you have to do is just pray, dear God, I've messed up. I've broken your laws. I've transgressed your against you, and I'm sorry. And ask Yeshua, ask Jesus to forgive you, to come into your heart, send his spirit into your heart, and write your name in his book of life, and he'll be your savior forever. That's all you have to do. Something to that effect. As long as you mean it, he'll do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for Brooke. Let's give it up to God for Brooke. The angels are rejoicing. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's prepare to come. Just if you have issues or sin in your heart that you need to confess, this is a good time to confess them. And before you come, get right with God as you come to his table. Hallelujah.
Come.
L'chaim, to life in Yeshua. Hallelujah. Praise God. Brooke, how do you feel? Hey, you feel happy? Praise the Lord. That's a good way to feel. To life.
Before we ask the children to come forward, and I want the kids to come. Mr. Charlie. Where did Charlie go?
Okay, we have a special presentation for mothers because tomorrow is Mother's Day, and
so the kids are going to help.
The kids are going to help
with the.
So I will grab special. We want to honor the mothers here today.
There's Charlie.
Charlie.
Here comes Mr. Charlie, who put these beautiful things together himself. Charlie's a part-time florist, and he has greenhouses. And didn't he do a nice job? He just needs 12. I wish I had the green thumb that Charlie had.
Not for you.
And it's not candy.
Gosh, it's really. I'm really happy to be with my child. All right, let's all, if all the moms and the kids would come up front.
We're going to bless the children, so we're going to ask all the children to come forward. We're going to, the adults can gather around them. We're going to pray for the kids. So come and lay hands on them if you know them.
Praise God.
And come and lay hands on the children. Praise God.
All you kids, give your moms a nice big hug, all right? Thank her for being such a nice mom.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do we have an extra rose for Brooke today since this is her special day? Did she get one? Charlie, you have an extra one for Brooke? And we have extras.
Here's another one.
Yeah. It's okay. It's just Charlie was going to take them for himself, but, you know. Now they're going to put them back in the garden. Let's pray for the kids. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for our children and for the children watching and the people who have children and grandchildren. We bless them. We bless all the kids today, those watching, those who are watching who have children and grandchildren. We pray for our kids here. We thank you that they are arrows in our quiver, that they are the beginning of our strength. We thank you that they are our future and our heritage. We thank you, Lord, that you train them up in the way that they should go, that when they are old, they will not depart from it, Lord, that they know, learn your ways, that you teach them to walk in paths of righteousness for your name's sake, Lord, that they do not turn to the right or the left. Teach them to hear your voice like you did the prophet Samuel. Teach them to hear your voice and to obey you. Help them, Lord, to obey their teachers now as they go to class and to behave in class today. Lord, each one, knit them together as brother and sister in Yeshua, in love and oneness and unity. Bless their teachers, anoint them, fill their mouths with your word, and let them share the word boldly in truth and in spirit as they share with the children today. Bless them as they go to class now, and bless them in school. And prepare them for their life's work, Lord. Prepare each of these children and the ones watching for their life's work and whatever their vocation is. Prepare them for their future spouse, Lord. Prepare them, prepare that person for them. We pray in the name of Yeshua and guard them from the evil one. Amen.
Okay, children, wait for Miss Patricia. Do not go down until Patricia's ahead of you. Wait for Miss Patricia at the stairs, please. Stay. Somebody guard the stairs till Patricia gets down there. Billy, come back here, please.
Test 1, 2, okay. All right. We are moving along. We are moving along with this fancy new microphone and my new tie that my mommy bought me for my birthday. Like my new tie. Who's laughing at my new tie? Thank you. Grandma Harriet, my mom gave me this tie. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Wendell. Wendell says I look good. As long as Wendell thinks I look pretty, then I feel good. Oh, he didn't say pretty. He just said I look good. He didn't say pretty. You know. Wendell, you got to be careful. You know, we want Wendell to get too mushy gushy, you know. All right, I'm going to preach now. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
All right, let's pray for the word of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Where'd everybody go? We had a bunch of folks here. Then it's like people walked out the back door. Bless them, Lord. All right. You must have had hot dates. Or maybe they had hot figs or apricots or, you know, hot cranberries. Dried blueberries? I don't know. All right, Heavenly Father, let's get off my bad humor. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of the Ruach HaKodesh. We thank you for visiting us early in the service today and for coming and being with us today, Lord. Thank you that the effects of the flood were minor. And I believe, Lord, that you took care of it quickly and helped us and sent us help quickly, Lord. Thank you. And Lord, I thank you for the mothers. Bless them, Lord. We thank you for our mothers present and those and the women who mother the children who don't even have children of their own, Lord. Those who serve as mothers, surrogate mothers, we bless them, Lord. And who mother other people's children, Lord, we thank you for that. In the name of Yeshua, bless them with strength and health. Bless them with energy and vitality. And bless them for their saintliness, because being a mother is probably the hardest thing I could think of to do. Hallelujah. Now give me your word, Lord, in the name of Yeshua. Fill my mouth with your words. Bind the strong man. Release your anointing. Release your message for the people. In Yeshua's name I pray. Amen. All right. Woo! Trying to get comfortable in this big old stool. All right. We're getting there. I got this new suit because my old ones were getting too small. They had a good sale at Belk's a couple weeks ago. Anyway, then Grandma Harriet sent me a tie. She didn't even know I got new suits. A new jacket and a new suit. Sent me two ties. Hallelujah. Okay, we're going to talk about Shavuot, Pentecost Revealed, part two. Last week we looked at Shavuot, Pentecost. Shavuot is the Hebrew name for Pentecost. And we realized that everyone, Shavuot is where Christianity and Judaism cross. Shavuot and Pentecost, that's where Christianity and Judaism cross, because it's the one holiday that we celebrate that's actually the same holiday on the same day. Generally, some folks celebrate it based on different calendars and different approaches to counting the days. We're counting the days, the 50 days from the Sabbath at Passover. Some people gauge the Sabbath from the day that Passover began, and they count starting from the day that Passover begins, and they count 7 weeks from that Sabbath. And then they count to the day after. Other people wait till the Sunday of the first week during Passover. They wait till the Saturday of the first week of Passover. And they start counting 7 Sabbaths from then to the day after. That's 50 days. And that's where the Christians got Pentecoste. Everybody say Pentecoste. Pentecoste. And that means 50th, as in 50 days. Amen? That means 50th, as in 50 days. So the Jews basically call it Shavuot, which means weeks, the Feast of Weeks. So it's 7 weeks plus 1 day is 50 days. And the Christians call it Pentecoste, 50 days. So it's it's just semantics, really. It's for, you know, the Jews call it the Feast of Weeks, 7 weeks plus one day, and the Christians call it, but it's the same holiday. It's the only holiday that we celebrate except that's biblical, that we actually, Christians, I'm talking about the church, not Messianics. I'm talking about the church and the Messianic and the Jewish people and the Messianic Jews. It's the only holiday that we both celebrate. A lot of people in the church and a lot of Jews have gotten away from it. It's one of the most important holidays according to God in Deuteronomy 16. And I believe somewhere in Exodus 23, I believe, talks about it as well. It's one of the most pilgrim feasts. It's one of the three main feasts of the Bible. God says in Deuteronomy 16, three times a year, all your people shall come up to the place that I choose for my name, which we know that was Jerusalem, and they shall come and bring an offering. Each one shall come and not come empty-handed, and bring the best offering they can on Shavuot. And it says, and three times a year they shall come to, and we know that was Jerusalem. That's why Yeshua, went to Jerusalem for the feast, because he was obeying the commandment of God to go up to the feast each time. Actually, he went to all the feasts in Jerusalem. We have record of him in the Bible going to every single feast in the Bible in Jerusalem, with the exception of Purim. The only New Testament, the only Old Testament holiday that we don't see mentioned in the Bible is Purim, which is kind of interesting that it's not mentioned. I'm sure they celebrated it, you know, but I'm sure Peter dressed up as a ballerina, you know. It's common for people to dress up in costumes on Purim, the Feast of Esther. And so, I said Peter may have dressed up as a ballerina, but we may actually have Wendell dress up as a ballerina this year. But he'll do it. He said he'd do it. So be with us on Purim. You don't want to miss that. Just kidding. We don't do that stuff here. Okay, let's get into the Word. All right. Hallelujah. Brooke got saved today. Is anybody excited? Amen. And Crystalline. Gosh, too many rock concerts as a kid. I'll tell you, she's on her way. She's on her way. Praise the Lord. She almost did it today. Praise the Lord. Well, she may still come. She may want to pray afterward. So we'll see. God's moving in her heart. But praise God. Isn't it beautiful to see the children accept the Lord? And hallelujah. Special. Thank you, Lord. We had two or three children last week. Don and I did a Passover in Greenville, and we had 2 to 3 people, and I think mostly young people, accept the Lord in Greenville at the Free Will Baptist Church that we were at last week, Harris Memorial. And anyways, let's get into the Word. Praise God. Last week we looked at Pentecost and realized that everyone must go through Passover, i.e. personal redemption from sin and atonement by and through Yeshua, Jesus, the true Passover Lamb. We must each be delivered from slavery and bondage to sin. We must pass from death to life in order to even begin our journey to Pentecost, to Shavuot, or to Shabbat, or to any other biblical holiday or place in God. In other words, if we don't stop at Passover, and that means if we don't, what I mean by the ultimate celebration of Passover for any human being, Jew or not, the ultimate celebration of Passover is what Brooke just did this morning. Coming to Yeshua, the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb, and saying, Mr. Passover Lamb, come into my life and take control. Wash me of my sins. Forgive me and put my name in your book of life, and be my Messiah, be my King, be my Lord, be my Passover. Be my Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's the ultimate celebration of Passover. And it can happen, as we'll see, it doesn't have to happen on the day of Passover, although Yeshua did it for us on the cross. He died for us on Passover. And Moses predicted it on the same day, the very same day of the year, the 14th day of the first month. Okay. Now, in order to get beyond Passover, in order to get beyond to anything else in God or to any of the other holidays like Shavuot, Pentecost, you got to go through Passover. So we compared it last week to Monopoly. We said that Passover and Messiah is like pass and go in Monopoly. You can't get to Connecticut Avenue, St. Charles Place, Tennessee Ave, Marvin Gardens, or Boardwalk unless you pass go. And without Yeshua, you can't begin your journey down the road to the New Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Without Yeshua in your life, you can't even begin your journey to culminate in the New Jerusalem. Amen? Amen? Amen. You must have a relationship with the Messiah in order to even get to begin your walk. And we're all in different places on the journey. Some of us are at Baltic, some of us are at Connecticut Avenue, some of us are at Virginia Avenue, some of us are at Kentucky, some of us are at Atlantic Ave, some of us are Electric Company, and some of us have gone directly to jail. Do not pass go, do not collect $200. And some of us don't have a get-out-of-jail-free card. Oh, well, you're not going to get a Monopoly. But now in Messiah, we are free. Hallelujah. Yeshua is like being stuck in jail in Monopoly with no get-out-of-jail-free card. But now in Messiah, we are free. New creations, living life abundantly, experiencing the blessings of God and serving His kingdom, we can now bear fruit. Today we will look at the fruits of Shavuot, Pentecost. We will look at the fruits from the Old Covenant versus the New Covenant. Let's begin by reviewing, in order to understand Shavuot, the fruits of Shavuot, we have to understand sort of the fruits of Passover. So let's do a little comparison here. All right, number one, in the Old Covenant Passover, God's people were enslaved to the Egyptians, then set free by the blood of lambs. Their blood was on the doorposts of the houses, and that's what set them free. They were delivered from slavery and bondage, physical slavery in Egypt, okay? But in the New Covenant, God's people are enslaved not to Pharaoh, not in Egypt, but were enslaved to sin, and we become set free by faith in Yeshua, in the blood of our Passover lamb. Amen? Because of the blood of the Passover lamb, the Lamb of God, the Messiah Yeshua, we by faith, we apply His blood to the doorposts of our hearts, and we pass over from death to life. Amen? We don't come out of Egypt, we come out of sin. Hallelujah. He casts our sin, into the water. As far as the east is from the west, He doesn't see our sins anymore. Amen. And He says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, second point about Passover is temple worship. We used to bring a lamb to the priest for sacrifice on Passover at Jerusalem. That was in the time of Yeshua. That was in the time of Hezekiah, in the time of King David. That's what they did. On Passover, they would bring lambs in the time of Solomon, in the time of Jeremiah, before they destroyed the temple. Each people would bring lambs and they would sacrifice them. They would celebrate Passover at Jerusalem. Okay? That now, in the New Covenant, now you and I can bring... We can bring the Lamb of God, we can bring Messiah, our Passover Lamb, anywhere we go. Amen? We don't have to go to Jerusalem. You who possess the Lamb. Do you have the Lamb? Raise your hand if you have the Lamb in you. If you have the Lamb, raise your hand. Hallelujah. Raise it high. Raise it loud. Raise it proud. Amen? You can bring the Lamb with you wherever you go. Say, wherever I go. You can bring the Lamb to anybody who will listen, to anybody who will receive the Lamb on at any time, any place, any day, just like the young lady did here today. You just got to bring the Lamb of God with you and offer it, would you, and to people, and present it to them in a way that they can understand. Amen. In a way that they can understand about the Lamb. And then if they are willing to receive the Lamb, that's having Passover. That is the ultimate Passover right there. That's, and it doesn't have to be on the day of Passover. Although, let me tell you something. The rabbis teach us that Shavuot, Pentecost, is the Atzeret. Everybody say Atzeret. The end of Passover. So the rabbis actually teach that Passover, which began a month ago, a little over a month ago, actually ends at Shavuot on the 50th day, is the end of Passover. They teach that. That's this period of 50 days and counting the Omer is still Passover. So it's interesting, that they can, we're still in the Passover season. And it's kind of also interesting, too, that Hezekiah, the king, Hezekiah, had Passover a month later. We're a month after Passover right now, 32 days, right? So about a month, a little over a month beyond Passover. And Hezekiah, the Levites, weren't ready. They weren't consecrated for King Hezekiah. They weren't consecrated to celebrate the Passover. So he said, consecrate yourselves, and we'll celebrate Passover in a month. So they waited a month, and they had Pesach Sheni, the second Passover. And they had Passover a month later. You can read that, I believe, in 2 Chronicles 30. You can read, I think, about Hezekiah's Passover and how he did it a month later. And so, and God accepted it. It was one of the greatest Passovers in the Bible, it says. And it was a month late. So, you know, if we weren't ready a month ago, we could, you know, do it. We could do it today. Praise the Lord. Okay. So Passover in the Old Covenant was to be observed on a very specific day, the 14th day of Nisan, but there was grace even then to have it a month later. Passover in the New Covenant is both a holiday, but each time a person accepts Yeshua, our Passover Lamb, they experience true Passover, as we saw today. And it can be any day of the year, not only on the day of a week of Passover. This is important, and it's the essence of New Covenant feasts, is that the blessings of the feasts can come any day of the year. See, we're seeing the blessing of Passover is salvation. The blessing of Yeshua in the New Covenant, and when you bring Yeshua the Lamb. See, when I went to visit my mom in the hospital during the actual, I had Passover with her, and she was in her hospital bed suffering to breathe and having congestive heart failure. And I spent the night with her, the first night of Passover, in the hospital. I spent, you know, several hours. And you know, she didn't see the Lamb in me. She didn't want the real lamb. She just ate the meal. And we talked about Passover. But she didn't want she didn't see the Lamb of God. I was just like at the woman of the well, where he said to the woman, he said, woman, if you knew who it was you were speaking to, you would have asked me, and I would have given you waters for which you would never thirst again. She didn't see. He had to open her eyes. And how did he do it? He said, you've had five husbands, and now the man you're living with is not even your husband. She said, I perceive you're a prophet. And he had to, you know, read her mail, so to speak, perform sort of a miracle of prophecy and of word of knowledge to her so that she could see that who he is. See what I'm saying? Sometimes we're talking to people, and they perceive who we are
And sometimes that takes repetition. For example, when Elisha was coming through the town of Shunem, everybody say Shunem. Don't shoot him, but Shunem. Okay? Shunem, not shoot him. Okay? Elisha the prophet was passing through this town of Shunem, and he kept coming through, and this lady just thought, she got to know him, this wealthy lady, and she invited him to eat several times. And as she got to know him, she said to her husband, "I perceive that this is a man of God." She said that to her husband. "Let us build an upper room," she said. "Let us furnish it with a bed and with a desk and a chair and a lamp, and so that when he comes through town, this man of God can come and stay in our house." And of course, that man of God came, and she was infertile, and she became fertile. She had a son. Then the son died, and he raised the boy from the dead. And she went through, you know, some great suffering, even with the man of God, even for what she did. You know, her son died, and she had to go through the grief of her dying son until the man of God raised him from the dead. But she still had to go through it. You see what I'm saying? We still have to go through the fire. Even no matter how blessed we are, we're all going to go through the fire. Amen. So, anyway, so, but perceiving, you know, God in somebody can take having a relationship with them. Sometimes, now, Brooke knows me, and I know Brooke, and she accepted the Lord today. She felt comfortable, whereas the other little girl doesn't know me that well, and she wasn't quite comfortable, you know, enough with me to do that. That's okay. That's all right. That's, she's on her way. You know what I mean? She's on her way. But, you know, it takes getting to know. You people need to get to know you. Say, people need to get to know me. To know God in me. You've got to bring God to them. And that's not a holiday. That's any day. Okay? So Passover is both a holiday, but each time a person accepts Yeshua, our Passover lamb, they experience true Passover. And it can be any day of the year, not only the day or week of Passover. Now, it doesn't mean we do away with Passover. We don't do away with Thanksgiving just because we thank God for his blessings and for doing good things, blessing us in our life. I thank God, even though we had a flood yesterday, I thanked him that he sent me an insurance company adjuster who knows me. I'll tell you something. If you have an insurance claim, you want an insurance adjuster who knows you. I'm going to tell you that. Can I get an amen? Can I get a big amen? If not only do you want an insurance adjuster who knows you, you want one who likes you. It really makes a difference. Because if they come from Ohio and they don't know you, chances are they're going to say, "Oh, no claim, see you later, bye," and move on to the next town. Okay? So having that relationship is important. So we give thanks to God. So I want to thank God, even though yesterday wasn't Thanksgiving, that I knew the adjuster, and I knew the for 17 years I've had a relationship with the company that came to dry us out. I've been working with that company for floods in my commercial properties and buildings for 17 years. I've had a relationship with this company, and the manager knows me. He said, "Joe, I haven't talked to you in a long, it's been a long time." I said, "You know, Brian, it's been a long time, and I'm kind of glad in a sense because I haven't needed you, you know. But you know, not that I don't want to see you, but I have a relationship with the company, and that's good." So I was thanking God. Hey, I know the adjuster, and I know the manager of the company that's cleaning us up. They're not going to take advantage. They've given us good deals in the past. They're going to take care of us. God's taking care of us. Amen? God's taking care of us. You know? So that's the cool thing. And So I thank God for that. You don't know this, but when it was pouring rain, buckets, these guys were out on our gutters and our drain spouts, taking them apart, taking pine needles and leaves and dirt and roof material in the dark at 7:30, 8 o'clock at night in the rain, getting soaked. Two guys were out there taking our drain pipes apart and cleaning them out so that the water would flow through the night. And they didn't have to do that. They could have just let it, they could have just gone and put the vacuums in, put the humidifiers and the fans, whatever, and left. They didn't do it. They cleaned out our drains so the water would empty out so we wouldn't get more flooding in the night. Thank you, God. I didn't even think to ask them that. They just did it. Hallelujah. Sometimes we miss blessings. We don't realize how blessed we are. We don't realize how blessed we are. Because the blessings that we want, Mustang convertible, are not the blessings that God has for us. Lincoln, MKZ. Okay? You see what I'm saying? You know, sometimes the blessings that we want, you know, Mustang convertible, are not the same as the blessings God wants to give us, Lincoln MKZ. I'm just saying. I'm just using that as an example. All right. Hallelujah. All right, let's move on to Shavuot. Let's talk about the blessings that come. Because you understand, Jesus, Yeshua is the Passover lamb, and he's with you, and you can bring Passover wherever you go in the new covenant. You don't need a day. You don't need a table. You don't need a holiday. You don't need a guy in a white suit. You don't need cups and candles and a book, and you don't need eggs and horseradish and gefilte fish, which we never serve you anyway. And you don't need matzo ball soup, and you don't need a chicken dinner. Or a preacher, you just need to go out and share the Messiah and ask God, God, help me lead people to the Lord. I've been praying week after week after week for salvations. And you know what? I've seen four salvations in 1 week. Everybody say amen. Four salvations in 1 week as we count the Omer. The Omer means a sheaf. This is an Omer. A sheaf of wheat or barley, we count the Omer. Now, we don't actually farm, most of us, so we're counting the Omer like they did in ancient Israel. What it really represents is the harvest of souls, not the harvest of wheat or barley. It represents the harvest of souls. So we're not really counting agriculturally anymore. We're counting, and we're not. Why do we count the Omer? Because we're anticipating the harvest. Everybody say, anticipating the harvest. So once you have Yeshua portable, and you can take him with you, right? Now you anticipate the harvest. Now I've got the real thing. It's not just a tea party where little girls play with teacups and pretend to be like their mummies. Now you're doing the real thing. You've got the Messiah packed with you. You're packing the Messiah. You're packing Scripture. You're packing the Word of God. You can learn. I can teach you if you don't know how to lead somebody to the Lord like I just did right in front of you. I can teach you how to do it if you're not sure. And if you don't even need me, because God can lead you how to do it, just ask him. But I've been praying for months. God, I bring people in, lost people in to be saved. Do I pray that on Wednesday nights? We pray all the time for God to bring lost sheep in. And we went through a spell for months where we didn't have anybody. But don't give up. Don't stop counting the Omer. Don't just stop at 50. If he doesn't bring the harvest in 50 days, wait 60. Keep going 70, 80, 90, 100, 110, 120, 200, 300. Wait till it comes. Hallelujah. Thank you. Exodus 19, Old Covenant, Shavuot, in the third month. Okay, turn to Exodus 19. So now we're looking at New Covenant blessings of Shavuot. Okay, so you got the Messiah. He's portable now. You can take him with you. You got the Word. You're packing the Messiah. You're packing the Word of God. You're praying, God, give me opportunities to share the Messiah, because the Bible says in the Proverbs, what does it say about the Tree of Life? Oh, Lord. It says, he who wins souls is wise, oh, Lord, give me that scripture. He who wins souls is wise. Hang on. Proverbs 11:30. Here it is. I love these things. The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Amen? The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls. Everybody say that. The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. In another scripture, it says that the more souls you win, you're going to shine like the brightest stars of heaven. When you get to heaven, you're going to shine like the brightest stars. The more souls you win for God. So if you've never won a soul, I'm not going to make you raise your hand, but just pray, God, help me to win souls. When I go to the coffee shop, when I go to get the newspaper, when I'm standing there pumping gas, when I'm at work, when I'm in the lunchroom, when I'm talking to the workman, whatever it is, ask God, pray, and don't stop praying for opportunities to win souls. Because, honey, you ain't going to ride my coattails into heaven. You ain't going to stand on my coattails and my tuxedo and ride into glory. I can't take you in my chariot. You're going to have your own chariot. You understand what I'm talking about? I can't open the gates for you. I can't open the doors for you. You got to do it. Say, I got to do it. You got to do it. Oh, man, that's good preaching. I need one of those rags. Exodus 19. Everybody say, in the third month. In the third month. Exodus 19:1. That was in the third month. That's when Pentecost, the original Shavuot, took place at Mount Sinai. It says, in the third month, after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, that same day they arrived at the wilderness of Sinai. They traveled from Rephidim, came into the wilderness of Sinai, and set up camp in the wilderness. Israel camped there right in front of the mountain. And it goes on to talk about it, and it says then we'll look at number two here. Adonai came down. Everybody say, Adonai came down. Adonai came down on Mount Sinai. It says in verse 16, in the morning on the third day, there was thundering and lightning, a thick cloud on the mountain, and the blast of an exceedingly loud shofar. Wendell, blow that shofar. He's about to blow it somewhere else. All right. We'll keep that between us. All right. Y'all get it. Can somebody else blow the shofar? All right. All right. Y'all get it anyway. Let's just go on. Lord, have mercy. All right. In the morning on the third day, verse 16. There was thundering and lightning. Is it good to have? Is God fun? Does God want you to have a good time? Amen. God is a God of laughter and joy, and abundant living. Amen. Amen. So it's good to laugh. And lightning, a thick cloud on the mountain, and the blast of an exceedingly loud shofar. All the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the lowest part of the mountain. Now the entire Mount Sinai was in smoke because Adonai had descended upon it in fire. The smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace. The whole mountain quaked greatly. Then the sound of the shofar grew louder and louder. Moses spoke, and God answered him with a thunderous sound. Then Adonai came down onto Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain. And Adonai called Moses to the top of the mountain. Okay? So that is, God came down in thunder and lightning, a thick cloud with the blast of the shofar. He descended in fire and smoke and an earthquake. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came down, which is also God, in the rushing wind with tongues of fire on Mount Moriah. Same on Mount Moriah in Jerusalem. God came down on the mountain, right? In Acts chapter 2, he didn't come down quite with the earthquake and the thunder and the lightning. He came down in a rushing wind, and he came down with tongues of fire. Amen? He still freaked them out, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't quite as dramatic, but it still freaked the people out. They were like, what's going on here? Are these men drunk? You know? Okay. All right. God gave, in the old covenant, Shavuot, God gave the Ten Commandments. Very first thing he did is Moses came down with the Ten Commandments. And the new covenant, he didn't give the Ten Commandments. He put the law, the Torah, in our hearts. God gave the power of the Ruach HaKodesh. He gave the Holy Spirit. Amen. The new covenant. Everybody saying the new covenant. God didn't give the Ten Commandments. He gave us the Holy Spirit and the power to walk in the Torah, to actually keep the Torah. You see, none of us is perfect. We all fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And none of us can keep the Torah perfectly, but without the Holy Spirit, you can't keep it at all. Without the Holy Spirit, you can't keep it at all. So you see, we're moving ahead into what the new covenant blessing of Shavuot is, like we did with Passover, that the portable lamb. Now we're talking about Shavuot. Okay, so God gave the Holy Spirit. It says in Exodus 32:25. We won't go there, but it says that because of the golden calf incident, 3,000 died. So in the old covenant, Shavuot, 3,000 died. But in the new covenant, it says God gave eternal life. 3,000 were added to the kingdom that day, Acts 2:41. Shavuot is about harvest. This is a major theme of the feast, harvest. So under the law, it says, In 2 Corinthians 3, it says, let me just go there quickly here. For the letter kills and the spirit gives life. Okay, 2 Corinthians 3, 4 through 6, here we go. And we have not... We have such trust through Messiah toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Hallelujah. So under the letter, 3,000 died, but under the Spirit, 3,000 came to life. Amen. Under the letter, 3,000 died. But so Anthony said today, the Torah is not done. No, the Torah isn't done. It's not done away with. It still exists. If you live on, people live under the Torah, and they experience the blessings or curses. They don't. The Bible says here's what the Bible says about the Torah. And it says this in Deuteronomy 28. Okay, and you can check me on this. If you keep all my commandments, if you keep all my laws, all my ordinances perfectly, I will bless you. And this is how I'll bless you, God says. It's a great chapter. But if you fail to keep all of my commandments, laws, ordinances, and such, then I will curse you. And the curses are horrible. You'll be chased by the sword. You'll have sickness. You'll have ulcers. You'll have boils. You'll have waste. You'll waste away. You'll have diseases that waste you away and destroy you. You'll have. They'll hunt you. They'll take your wives from you. They'll take your land from you. They'll take everything from you. They'll chase you from one country to the next. It's a horrible curse if you don't keep all God's law. Thanks be to God, we have the Spirit which came on Pentecost. Amen. Which came on Shavuot. God poured out the Ruach HaKodesh. Hallelujah. So we are ministers of a new covenant now. We are not ministers of the old covenant. The old covenant exists. We teach it, and if you go to Anthony's class, it's good to learn about the old covenant. It's because even Christians need to know what's in the old covenant. If you don't understand, Moses, let me just tell you about the old covenant. Moses wrote the old covenant, okay? And Moses was a prophet. Everybody say a prophet. Deuteronomy 18:18 says, I will raise up unto you a prophet like Moses, okay? Moses was a prophet. That means the words Moses wrote was prophecy. And if Moses wrote prophecy, then you need to know what he said. Everybody, every Christian, every Jew, every Messianic Jew, everybody walking the face of the earth needs to know the prophecy of Moses. Okay, let's move on. All right, so the second blessing, besides the Ruach HaKodesh, God gave, well, was the outpouring of the Spirit was the beginning of the Joel 2 prophecy, where the outpouring to a large number of people of the Holy Spirit on you know, thousands, where in Joel 2:17, where it says, in the last days I will pour out my Spirit, and the young men will see visions, and the old men will dream dreams. Amen? And Peter said, this is what's happening here, guys. These men are not drunk. The old men are getting visions, and the young men are dreaming dreams. God's pouring out his Spirit. So along with the pouring of the Spirit, if you turn to 1 Corinthians 12, you see that God offers gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, God offers us gifts. Now concerning spiritual gifts, because if you have the Spirit, you have gifts. Brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed by idols that cannot speak, and you got led astray. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit, the Ruach of God, says, Yeshua, be cursed. And no one can say, Yeshua is Lord, except by the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Now, there are various kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are various kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are various kinds of working, but the same God who works all things in all people, but to each person is given the manifestation of the Ruach for the benefit of all. For to one is given through the Ruach a word of wisdom. Some of you are given the word of knowledge, or word of wisdom, as Yeshua gave to the woman at the well, was a word of knowledge. Amen? You've had five husbands, and the man you're living with now isn't married. That was a word of knowledge. Okay? God still gives that gift. Amen? And somebody said to me recently, you know, you said something that spoke to me, you know, directly about a situation I was going through. I can't remember what it was. It was just in the last week. You know, I gave them, I didn't even know I gave a word of knowledge. I just gave it, and it happened to be a word of knowledge for somebody. Praise the Lord. All right. So that's a gift. That's a gift. So God, one is given through the Ruach a word of wisdom, to another a word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, another the gift of faith. So God gives one of the gifts of Shavuot, of the outpouring of the Spirit, is faith. And by the same Ruach, to another gifts of healings, the ability to heal, to lay hands. Wendell, your back got healed. Here, you seeing that? How many of you have had a healing in this congregation? Raise your hand. Praise the Lord. All right, so many, many have seen healings, and we've seen hundreds and hundreds through the years. hallelujah. Gift of healing. Exactly. Hallelujah. To another, the workings of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. That's discerning, okay, I'm standing in front of somebody. Am I talking to you, Fred, or Bill, or not Bill here, but I mean, you know, Jim, John, Alice, whoever. Am I talking to you, or am I talking to a demon? You know, you have to discern the spirit. Is this person I'm talking to the real thing, or is this person, you know, controlled by an evil spirit? You know, and that's a gift. To be able to discern that is a gift. Okay, and I have that gift, and I also can tell when you have that gift. If I get to know you, I'll be able to tell if you have that gift. And if I see a gift in you, because I have most of these gifts, I have a gift of miracles, I have a gift of healing, I have a gift of prophecy, I have a gift of word of knowledge, I have a gift of word of wisdom. God's given me many of the gifts, if not all. Okay? And I can tell you, if I get to know you, what your gift is, you know, but I have to spend time with you, to know. Amen? Amen. Now, you may not believe me, but that's okay. I know what I have. And it doesn't matter. I'm not here to impress anybody. I'm just here to tell you. Charlie, have you seen miracles? Praise the Lord. Charlie's been with me to a lot of different meetings. Wendell, you've seen stuff down at the campground. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Some people are given the gift of tongues. By one, the same Ruach activates all these things, distributing to each person individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many parts, all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also is Messiah. For in one Ruach we were all immersed into one body, whether Jewish or Greek, slave or free, and we were all made to drink of the one Spirit. For the body is not one part, but many. If the foot says, since I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body, it is therefore not part of the body. And if the ear says, since I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body, it is for this reason and less part of the body. No. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the parts, each of them, in the body just as he desired. If they were all one part, where would the body be? But now there are many parts, yet one body. And the eye cannot tell the hand, I don't need you, or turn on the head, and so on. It's a great chapter. And it goes on down here in verse 27. It says, now you are the body of Messiah and members of individually. God has put into you, into his community, first, apostles, emissaries. Second, prophets. Third, teachers or rabbis. The word for Hebrew for teacher in Hebrew is rabbi. Teachers. Then miracles. Then healings. Then helps. Then leadership. Various kinds of tongues. All are not emissaries. We're not all apostles. We're not all sent to build a work. Amen? We're not all apostles to lead a work, to plant and to build and lead a work. Not everybody is an apostle. Amen? Some people are. It's okay. Not everybody is a teacher. Not everybody is a prophet. Not everybody has the gift of miracles. Not everybody has the gift of healing. But you all have, everybody say, we all have some of these gifts. Not everybody's a Levite, a worship leader. Some of you are, and some of you here, and some of them who have come and gone. You have the gift of being a Levite, of being a worshiper, but you don't use it. People have come and gone. There's people not in this room who had the gift to play the piano, had the gift to play an instrument, flute, to sing, never used it. Let me tell you, if you don't use it, you lose it. You don't use it, you're going to lose it. Okay? So these are the gifts of the Spirit. You can read more about them. And now, the best way to know, if you don't know what your gifts are, is to meet with your leaders and talk about your life and you know, share your life, meet with your leaders. You want to find out what your gifts are? I had a guy one time, he said, I'm a seer. And he got mad at me because I didn't let him see. Well, I kept a pillowcase over his head the whole time. And I never let him see because he said he was a seer. But actually, he was a troublemaker. So I kept a pillowcase over his head so it wouldn't cause trouble. And he said, one day he got mad at me. He said, you won't let me see. And I said, you know what? I'm so sick of you telling me that I don't let you see. Why don't you go see somewhere else? And he left. Praise God. Never bothered me again. Now, he was a nice guy, very spirit-filled man, very anointed, very called, very proud, very arrogant, very boastful, very cocky, and very obnoxious. I don't shove my gifts. I may be a prophet. I may be Elijah. For all you know, I may be Elijah who is yet to come. But I don't go around saying I'm Elijah who is to come. I don't go around saying I'm one of the two witnesses. I may be. I may be one of the two witnesses who's going to walk around Jerusalem prophesying until I'm slayed and then I'm going to be raised up on the third day. I may be. I'm Jewish. I'm living in the end times. How do you know I'm not? I may be one of the 144,000. I may know it, but I'm not going to tell you. I don't have a thing on my business card, the prophet, apostle, Joe Bell. You know, some people feel the need to advertise their gifts, you know, the prophetess, the apostle, you know. I just put plain old rabbi. And I didn't even put it. My wife did, you know. I'm just plain old Rabbi Joe, you know. I may be all these things, but I don't know. But I don't need to preach them to you. If I'm a man of God, have dinner with me, and God will show you who I am. Amen. If I'm a man of God, if I'm anything, break bread with me, get to know me, and then build an upper room. Capiche? Get to know the man of God. Come to prayer. That's one good way to get to know the man of God. That is one good way. Yeah, yeah. Amen. And you know what? We had a big group this week. Praise God. I was very, very blessed to see a group of men there. We had about 5 men. It was great. We had men's prayer. We had ladies' prayer. It was real nice. Hallelujah. We love you all, even if you didn't come. All right. We're almost done here. So now the next thing, if you have the gifts of the Spirit, you're going to show the fruit of the Spirit. Turn to Galatians 5. These are all the blessings of Pentecost, of Shavuot. And I'm almost done. Okay, so verse 13 of Galatians 5. Brothers and sisters, you were called to freedom. Only do not let your freedom become an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another, for the whole Torah can be summed up in a single saying, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not destroyed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, but the Spirit sets its desire against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you cannot do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, by the Ruach, you are not under the Torah. That means you're not under the curse of the Torah. You're still under the Torah. In other words, if you commit adultery and you don't repent, or if you commit pornography or you steal or you rob a bank or you murder somebody, you're still under the Torah, okay? You're going to, you know, unless you repent, God's going to whip your butt, okay? You may not lose your salvation, but if you do enough, you know, he may take your life from you. Like he did in the guy who was sexually immoral in 1 Corinthians 5. Paul said, he gave him over to Satan so God would take his life, so that he could save his soul. All right. So behave. But I'm serious about that. Behave. Amen. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not destroyed by one another. But I say, walk by the Ruach. And now the deeds of the flesh are clear. Verse 19, sexual immorality, impurity, indecency, idolatry, witchcraft, hostility, strife, jealousy, rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, those are divisions, envy, drunkenness, carousing. Factions are when groups of people get together and conspire. Don't ever get a part in a congregation. Don't ever get in a group and conspire against the leadership. Don't ever do that. That's factions. Bad stuff. Dissension is division. Don't cause division. All right. Drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I'm warning you just as I warned you before. This is the new covenant, that those who do such things will not inherit God's kingdom. That's just following the Torah. These are the poisonous fruits of the Spirit, right? The poisonous fruits of the Spirit, just like Eve bit the apple. If you eat these fruits, you will not inherit the kingdom of God, it says. If you eat these fruits, now, if you do it once, okay, and you repent, then you're just a believer, a child of God who stumbled, and if you don't do it again, Yeshua said, go and sin no more. He'll forgive you, but if you make a habit of doing these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not, God is not mocked, and you know, he's not mocked, and he'll take your citizenship in the kingdom away. He'll take your passport. If you practice these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Take it seriously. That's Torah. All right. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. All right? So, you know, you have to ask yourself, is my household quiet? Is my household full? I grew up in a household where there was screaming and yelling and fighting, and people were calling, you know, different people names, and you know, 4 years old, I can remember hiding under the bed, and my dad calling my brother a moron and screaming at him. He was 19. My brother was 19, and I was 4 years old. I can remember hiding under the bed with my dad, and my brother were going at it. Okay? Is your house a household of peace? Is there strife? You know, or is your life outside of here, you know, in school? Some children have a rough upbringing. They don't have joy, peace, and patience. Instead, they have detention, punishment. They have penalties, things taken away from them in school because of their behavior. Okay? But if we walk in the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So that's a big one, self-control. That means learning how not to lose it. Amen? Learning how to control. You know, the Bible says, I have been crucified. What does it say? I have been crucified in Christ, right? And I no longer live, but Messiah lives in me. And the life I live in the body, I don't live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Amen? I have been crucified with Messiah, and I no longer live, Joe, but Messiah lives in me. So a true disciple of Messiah isn't his... Your heart, your pulse rate, your spiritual pulse rate isn't going to go like this. That means you're manic. If you're a disciple of Messiah, your pulse rate's going to go like this. Up the mountain, down the hill. Up the mountain, down the valley. Up the mountain, down the valley. Oh, having a great day. Oh, praise the Lord. God bless me. God got $100,000. Oh, I'm miserable. Oh, the next day, oh, everything's falling apart. Oh, I can't go on anymore. Next day, oh, everything's great. I can't wait for my trip to California. Man, I got to pack my bags and ready to go. Next day, oh, my God, I had 2 flat tires. You know, that is not a stable walk with God, okay? All right? A stable walk with God is whatever happens, you're calm. You're not losing it, okay? You're not going to the psych ward. You're stable. Your household is stable. Your household is stable. You're not fighting with your spouse constantly. You're not fighting with your children. There's peace in the house. Everybody say, shalom in the home. Shalom in the home. Okay? That's what the goal is. Everybody say, that's the goal. That's the goal. Is shalom in the home. Your walk with the Lord should be... You know, ever see that commercial where the guy's riding the bull and it's going real slow? He's riding the bull, you know, the electric bull, and he's going, woohoo! Yeehaw! And this other guy's kind of... He has diabetes. And the whole point of the commercial is, you know, you don't want your blood sugar going up and down. You want it to be steady. So he's riding this bull, this electric bull, and it's going real slow. He's like, woohoo! And there's this guy watching him, and he's like looking at him like, I don't get it, you know? Because when you're riding one of those electric mechanical bulls, the whole point is to go, you know, up and down and get thrown off the thing, right? Isn't that the whole point of it? Not to be steady as she goes. But that's the way God wants your walk with him to be, is steady. Steady Eddie. Everybody say, I'm a steady Eddie. Or a steady Betty. If you're a steady Eddie, say, I'm a steady Eddie. If you're a steady Betty, say, I'm a steady Betty. Amen. And if you're not, say it anyway, because call it forth. I'm a steady Betty. Say it. Now, I don't know Bruce Jenner. I don't know what he can say. I'm a steady it. I'm a steady weedy. Or I'm a steady sweetie. I don't know who won all those gold medals, Bruce or Caitlin. I'm really confused. I mean, that was like my favorite Olympics. I was 10 years old. Bruce Jenner was my hero. And all the time, he's winning all these Olympic medals. It was really Caitlin. God help me. All right, here's my conclusion. Praise the Lord. God bless you, Brucey. All right. Whereas the Torah was given on Shavuot, Pentecost, it revealed what sin is to God's people, but it never gave us the power to break sin's grip and live the abundant, holy lives. In Acts 2, we see a new empowerment by the Ruach HaKodesh, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. We see the giving of gifts, to move in the gifts of prophecy and miracles and healings and words of wisdom and words of knowledge and deliverance from demons and sickness, all those things. Evangelism, the gift of evangelism to make us fishers of men and turn a guy like Peter, who was a kind of a wild donkey of a man, into a preacher, make him an evangelist. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. Amen? That's the new covenant Shavuot. Okay? The outpouring of the Holy Spirit gave many the gift of healing, verse 28, miracles, leadership, prophets, apostles. I never dreamed I'd be a messianic leader, you know. Maybe of, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah. We're Lion of Judah. You know, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah. Out of you will come forth one from me who will be ruler in Israel. Maybe, who knows? Out of us, you know, may come forth a leader in Israel one day. Who knows? Praise the Lord. apostles, prophets, rabbis, teachers, speaking in tongues. So Pentecost may or may not happen in your life on the actual holiday. Here's the thing. Just as you carry the Lamb of God with you, remember Passover? Just as you pack the Word of God, just as you pack the message for the lost, now you pack the gifts that you need and the tools to do the dirty jobs. Who's that guy who does the dirty jobs? What's his name? Mike Rowe. You're the Mike Rowe. You're the Mike Rowe of God. Amen? You know the Mike Rowe, the guy that did the dirty jobs. He'd crawl into the sewers and scummy, slimy places and yucky, mucky and get all slimed up. Remember him? Okay? Well, now you're empowered by the Holy Ghost and you have the gifts to go out with, take Jesus with you and Yeshua and bring the, you have the gifts of God to go out and get the dirty jobs done. Amen? Say, I'm going to get the dirty jobs done. If you believe me. But you got to want to. You got to want those gifts. Hallelujah. So it doesn't matter what day it is. Pentecost may not come for you on the day of the holiday. Just like you didn't get saved on Passover. We said that last week. Some of you got saved. You know, I got saved on February 14th, 1996. The true Passover, the real Passover, hit me on February 14th, 1996. And then you probably didn't get hit on the day of Passover. Amen? Think about the day. I'm not going to go into what day you got saved, but you think about it. And in the same way, the actual fulfillment of Pentecost in your life, God has a day of Pentecost for you, maybe more than one, but it may not be on the day of Pentecost. So I've had Pentecost year after year. Here's the revelation. Year after year, I've counted the Omer. Year after year, I've counted the sheaves, expecting God to move mightily. Then the day of Pentecost came, and nothing happened. Well, God showed up, and we had great services, but it wasn't anything like the Acts chapter 2. But then there's other times I've gone down to youth camp down in Elk Park, North Carolina. I've seen 100 kids saved in one night. You saw how Brooke came forward? How about 100 kids coming forward and praying with me for an hour and 20 minutes? Praying one after another. One of those little girls named Rebecca Stapleton prayed with me. She was 4 years old, and I prayed and prophesied over her that she'd be a missionary to Africa. And you know what? Today she's 20 years old. She's married. She got saved that day. And I preached in her daddy's church last year, and he testified that she got saved, and she's a missionary to Africa. How do you like that? She was 4 years old. She's 20, so that's 16 years ago. And 100 little kids came up to me, and that's happened on more than one occasion at that camp. And Wendell was there to see it. Charlie was there to see it, some of those. Amen? On the testimony of two witnesses, a matter is established. Doesn't have to be on the day of Pentecost. Your Pentecost may come next Tuesday, may come in July, may come in August, may come in November. Just keep counting the Omer. You're not hearing me. Keep counting the sheaves. Keep expecting. Keep anticipating the outpouring of God's gifts and His Spirit and His blessings upon you and your family and your life. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't leave. The presence of God until He's done for you what you want Him to do. And even done for you what you don't even know He needs to do. Hallelujah. Are you getting me? That's the spiritual new covenant Shavuot. It's good to count the Omer and expect a great harvest from God. He wants us to believe for big things, but don't be disappointed if your personal Shavuot doesn't happen on the actual day of the feast oh, I'm sure there will still be great events that take place on the day of the Passover or Shavuot, but they could be 500 or 1,000 years apart. In other words, historic Passovers and historic Pentecost could come 500 years apart or 1,000 or more. Okay? God's Shavuot blessings can come upon you whenever He chooses. The lesson of the feast is to be, one, obedient. The disciples had to be in the city. Stay in the city until you be clothed with power. Obedience. Number two, be prayerful always. Be prayerful. Always be prayerful. Always be in the Word. Always. Every day, be prayerful. Every day, be in the Word. Number three, be in fellowship. Be in fellowship. Don't stray from the... If you stray from the flock... You know, my wife's cousin, he lives on a farm on Boone's... on Carroll Creek Road on Boone Lake. On Boone Lake. The first white man in Tennessee to be scalped and killed by an Indian happened on his property. And there's a marker there. People go there to see it off Carroll Creek Road. You can look it up. The first white man to be killed by the Indians, you can Google it, is on Robert Helvey's property. My wife's cousin, Robert Helvey, it's on his farm. And there's a marker, there's a gravestone there. He strayed from his party. He went out, you know, searching. He was out on a search party. He strayed from the main group, and he lost his scalp. And he died on my wife's cousin's farm. The first white man in Tennessee. All right. So what's the lesson there? Be in fellowship. Be connected to the believers. Be connected to the shepherds, the under shepherds. Be in the body. Don't be a wanderer. A body wanderer isn't what God's looking for. Some people go bouncing around from church to church to church to church. He says, be oaks of righteousness planted by rivers of water. Psalm 1, I believe it is. Be oaks of righteousness planted. It may not be exciting. It may be boring at times. It may not be full of thrills to, you know, it's neat to go to a new place and meet new people. I'm not saying don't visit places or go to a special event, but if this is your home, wherever your home is, stay in your home. Attend your home congregation. Because if you're not, then you're really not in a congregation. You're just a bouncer. You bounce around. You're a hopper. Hop, hop, hoppity, hop. And you have no accountability to anybody. And people come to me and they come and visit for 2 weeks or 3 weeks and they leave. But they come and they say, well, can I do anything? Can I help you? Well, I don't know them. I'm not going to give them jobs to do. I don't know you. Well, here's my car keys. Would you mind pulling my car around? No, thank you. How do I know you're not going to drive off with it? You know, you come for 2-3 weeks and you leave, and you come another 2-3 weeks and leave, and come back 6 months later and stay for a week or two and leave. I'm sorry. I'm not going to give you authority. I'm not going to give you the keys to the building or the code. All right. Here we go. Expect and believe God is good and able to do great things for you and with you. Lastly, remember, it's about building His kingdom. It's not about you. Say, it's not about me. Seek His kingdom first, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Amen. So God loves you. I want to give you hope. I come from a very screwed up family. Somebody asked me recently, they said, Rabbi Joe, they said, what's a normal Jewish family like? I said, I don't know. I've never met one. I haven't. I don't know what a normal Jewish family is. Mine certainly wasn't. Still isn't. My brothers and sisters still fight with like cats and dogs. They're in their 60s now. One's had a stroke. Two of them have had heart attacks and heart surgery. you know, one has diabetes, one's on the edge of teetering off to a nervous breakdown, and they're still screaming at each other, hating each other, fighting with each other, not talking to each other, and my mother's right in the middle of it, and here's Joey in Tennessee trying to keep the peace. I hate it. I wish I could just be done with it, but they're lost. I can't quit. Can't give up. Can't quit them. And that's my message to you. Yeah, you have a hard family. I have a hard family too. You got problems. Yeah, I got problems too. You got trouble. You got trouble children. I was suspended 11 times in seventh grade for fighting. They found fireworks in my locker. They called the police on me. Fireworks were legal in Tennessee when I was a kid. They found fireworks in my locker in school. They called the police. Okay? You got children, child problems? Huh? There's hope. Yeah. Look at me. I'm the rabbi. Okay? And you know what? It didn't stop in seventh grade. I got they charged me. get a load of this one. All right? I joined a fraternity my freshman year of college, and they told us we had to kidnap our pledge master. So my car was sitting there one day outside the dorm, and two guys, my pledge master was walking by, so these two guys I was with grabbed him, and they threw him in the back seat of my car, which I was in the driver's seat. These two guys grabbed the pledge master, threw him in the back seat of my car, and some genius threw handcuffs on him. Then security came by, and he cried out, "Help, help, I'm being kidnapped." Guess who got charged with kidnapping? And you can't restrain somebody against their will with handcuffs, and they shout, "I'm being kidnapped." Well, thank God they didn't call the police. The school dealt with it, and they gave me 50 days of community service. So I went down and worked with these 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds and did daycare. I did sports with 5- and 6-year-olds. After, you know, after school, I went down for this program for kids from tough neighborhoods, and I did after school sports with them. And the newspaper was so impressed with me that after doing 50 days, they wrote an article about me in the newspaper about me volunteering to help these kids. So I got this article in the newspaper, all because I was charged with kidnapping. But the city loved it, and the newspaper did an article about this college kid who volunteered his time to take care of these poor 5- and 6-year-old kids from underprivileged families. And they wrote an article in the newspaper about it. Glory to God, there's redemption. So never lose hope. If I can make it, you can make it. Amen? 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 Amen, men and women. Well, let's all stand up. I want to give you the blessing. You know, Jonathan Burness, he likes to testify when he speaks, and sometimes he shares his testimony. He's famous. He's got an international television program. He's an author. How many of you know Jonathan Burness? Raise your hand. Okay, well, you know, he likes to tell his testimony how he used to be an unlicensed pharmacist. That's how he started out in business. He tells he was an unlicensed pharmacist, and now he's a famous television preacher and an interviewer, author, respected rabbi, prominent man, very prominent man. Amen. Unlicensed pharmacist. God can do miracles in your life. So never give up, never quit. And the Lord said to Charlie, tell Joseph that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yerechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Yair Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha. I assemble shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua the Messiah, the Prince of Peace, and soon coming King. Shabbat Shalom, I believe. Is lunch going to be served, Charlie? Any special announcements? Be careful. Anything about the equipment? Okay.